The contrast of affluence and wretchedness, continually meeting and offending the eye, is like dead and living bodies chained together. That's a quote from Thomas Paine in the 18th century. And that contrast, of course, is still with us. Take a drive through Dunthorpe or the West Hills, and then drive through the outer reaches of East Portland and past homeless encampments scattered around town. Or just think of Trump's 3 floors of luxury living space in Trump Tower, a few minutes away from slums in Newark and the South Bronx. We can get a more global picture of this gap from facts like the following, which come from an article on Alternet. The amount of money that was given out just in bonuses on Wall Street last year is twice the amount that all minimum wage workers earned in the country combined. Just 8 men, from Bill Gates to Michael Bloomberg, own as much wealth as 3.6 billion people, according to an analysis by Oxfam. The poorest half of the Earth's population owns just 1% of the Earth's wealth. But the richest 1% of the Earth's population owns 46% of the Earth's wealth. And things are not getting any better. The slice of the national income pie going to the wealthiest 1% of Americans has doubled since 1979. Now, what exactly is wrong with the existence of this gap between the wealthy few and the rest of us? Is it just that it's unfair that some people should have so much when so many have so little? Surely there's no way that the few wealthy people contribute so much more to the common good that they deserve to have so much. Nor is it possible that the many do so little that they deserve nothing, or nearly nothing, by comparison. But are we just complaining because of envy, like the envy I might feel for someone who's taller or better looking than I am? If so, then the reply might be, life is unfair, suck it up. The stark contrast between wealth and poverty is often called obscene. That's what's implied by Thomas Paine's image of living and dead bodies chained together and offending the eye. Why should the existence of great wealth next to squalid poverty disgust us? Well, it's partly because human misery by itself is a disgusting degradation of human life. But more than that, we're offended by the utter indifference of wealthy people to that misery, to the suffering of so many others. But the very rich have a very powerful motive for their indifference, for taking that great gulf between themselves and the poor as a fact of nature, as the result of just their natural superiority over ordinary people, and therefore something for which they need have no concern or take no responsibility. They think this in order not to see or to admit that they need the world's poverty in order that they can be rich. They are naturally predisposed to take their superior status for granted, just as those who profited from chattel slavery came to regard white supremacy as the natural order of things. Yes, the rich and the poor are obscenely chained together. But the chains belong to the few and are worn by the many. For the rich exploit the lives and labor of the many, and that's what makes them rich. The owners of the world suck value out of the lives of the rest of us in many ways. The most obvious is through wage labor. The profits of Walmart, Apple, General Motors, Kroger, and Cargill, and the profits of all their suppliers are produced by the labor of their employees, people who have no way to live but by selling their lives by the hour or the week or the month to those who have capital they can use to pay wages. But there are many other ways that massive wealth in the form of capital comes to grow and grow and get larger. Consider the healthcare system. Pete Carman in These Times offers a succinct explanation of how the U.S. healthcare system works. The U.S. healthcare system is unique in the world because it is based on the private investor's desire to increase market penetration and profit. return on investment is enhanced by charging the highest possible price for health insurance while paying out the lowest possible benefits. For pharmaceuticals, Americans are charged the highest prices in the world. An inherent advantage of our health sector for the investor is that nearly everyone will pay out their last dime to keep themselves and their loved ones alive and well. Providers are therefore free to charge whatever the lust for life will bear. Insurance companies, in other words, are answerable to the financial sector, whose only interest is in the increase of their capital. Capital goes where there is the most profit to be made, and if an industry fails to do well at the profit-making business, capital will go elsewhere, and the industry fails or is bought up by someone or some group of investors who will cut costs and services and wages to make it more profitable. This makes the whole medical-industrial complex a machine for generating profits for Wall Street. The same goes for nearly everything else that this economy produces: food, housing, transportation, entertainment, the media, and increasingly what used to be public services like education, water, postal services, and retirement. Even government, though it advertises itself as a servant and protector of the people, exists primarily to serve and protect capital, which means defending the rich against the poor, who are exploited as workers and as consumers in nearly every moment in their lives. Too many people seem to think that if we could only get powerful people in government, business, and the media to understand what's wrong with inequality, what's obscene about it, then they would change their ways and do something about it. But that's expecting them to give up what they feel is their birthright privilege, the right to live without working, because the rest of us work for them. The fight for single-payer health insurance is a step towards depriving capital of the power to enrich themselves from our illnesses and injuries. We must extend that struggle to depriving capital of the power to decide the way that every part of our lives is produced and reproduced, and that would mean the abolition of capitalism altogether, the abolition of the right to own the conditions of our lives. I'm Clayton Morgridge for the Old Mole Variety Hour.